Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to WGN Nightside. I'm Jim Tirano, your host for WGN Nightside here at WGN 720 AM in the city of Chicago. Happy Thanksgiving. What's going to be interesting about tonight's show is that we got a little bit of Thanksgiving and we got a little bit of Christmas. Because, of course, you know, Christmas officially does start after Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving only has 50 minutes to go. So, actually, to mark that event, at around noon, Roger Badish, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Just so you know, Roger, your midnight news is going to be late. I'm just telling you that now.
Okay, what are we doing at midnight?
It was going to be late anyway.
Well, I had another story to tell.
Even if I tried to be on time, it was going to be late. Okay. So that's not even a question. All right. But it's going to be late on purpose now, deliberately late, because we are going to do a Black Friday countdown.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I think even Mark Giangreco is going to be at, dancing somewhere.
Oh,
like
really?
He does on New Year's Eve.
With the bubbly?
Yeah, okay. Just to commemorate this. But we will be celebrating Black Friday. And if there is anybody, what I would love, I know it's Thanksgiving evening, and I know that it's a little late, and everybody's got their stretchy pants on or their top, the latch on your pants open, and you're sitting there like, the father on Everyone Loves Raymond. But if anybody is out and about at midnight at a Black Friday sale, or you're on your way, or you're in the store, or you're on your way home, I would love to hear from you.
I don't want to give you more ammunition to use.
Well, hey.
But I do have...
What do you have?
The parking lot percentages.
Oh, really?
Shopping malls.
Okay.
Well,
we will be celebrating the one tick. I've even got a Black Friday baby.
Oh,
someone's going to come in with a diaper. The baby for Black
Just
Friday.
Just a diaper.
Thank God. Oh, there are cameras in here. What am I talking about?
Uh-oh,
wait a minute. See, I used to like the old radio when people couldn't see anything.
Right.
This is too...
Oh, weird. This is all fancy schmancy.
Yeah,
now.
It was funny. I was on with Dean a few weeks ago, and I was at this other microphone that's not where the guests are.
Right.
I was on
You're
this other
co-host.
One.
You're at the co-host spot.
Yeah, well, the problem is that there's a camera right behind that co-host, and I don't sit. I stand.
Okay.
So the whole time, my back and backside was on the internet. I only hope that I wasn't adjusting too much.
Bald spot looked great.
Well, the I paid to have no bald spot, if you know what I mean. There's no bald spot happening. If I got a bald spot, I'm going to the hair club and asking why. There's no, there better not be. I don't pay that much money for a bald spot. No way, sir. But I just hope I wasn't subconsciously adjusting things.
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Because
my
backside.
I hear you.
Was on for 4 hours, which was not a pretty sight, I don't think. Well, anyway, it's great to be here on Thanksgiving evening, and it's great to be back with you, Roger. When I found out you were doing my news and being on the part of the show, it's only a 2-hour show. It's a quickie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a speed bump, just like this holiday is.
Yep.
What you do on a speed bump is you go over it slowly, certainly. Mm-hmm. You do absorb the speed bump.
The shock.
And you experience the speed bump, but basically you're there to go over it to get to your destination. And that, sadly, I believe, is what's happened to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I think Thanksgiving has become a speed bump holiday. We go through it, we absorb it, we experience it, but we're really looking straight ahead to the Christmas Eve season. And you know how scary I am. and you
with
do.
Christmas, yes.
So, yeah. I've got, I do have, you should know.
I saw it.
My festive pin is on my overcoat.
Very shiny. Did you clean it up?
Certainly. Okay. I even gave it a spritz of some Febreze Pine.
Nice.
Just so it would smell. But,
oh, yeah.
So I got a head start on Christmas stuff, and I decorated my home last weekend.
What? With lights and stuff?
With all 20 bins of Christmas stuff.
Wow.
But I didn't let the outside world know. So on the outside, I still had my autumnal wreath on the front door.
Mm-hmm.
No Christmas lights outside.
Your cornucopia.
Yes, my cornucopia. Yeah, and I didn't open any of the windows, so you couldn't see the Christmas tree lights.
Okay.
But we came home tonight at 6:15, and it was dark. And as soon as I got home, I took the wreath down, put the Santa head in the window, went outside. The two floodlights went from white to red and green.
Nice.
And I put the little tree outside by the front door. Mm-hmm. My wife's like, would you take your coat off? We just got home. No.
You've got things to do. You don't have time for coats.
It's officially, because when I go home tonight at 1 o'clock when the show's over, it will be officially the Christmas season. And I need to be feeling that.
Right, when you walk up to the door.
Yeah, so I prepared that, but I didn't want to let anybody, for the last week, nobody in my neighborhood knew that inside my house was a Santa winter wonderland.
All right, now how long have you lived in that neighborhood?
20 years this year.
Okay, 20 years. Trust me.
What's that?
The neighbors knew.
No, they hardly see me. They go, oh my God, there's that guy. We heard of. We thought that house was empty.
Call 911.
Believe me, I get up at 5 to get the paper so no one sees me. They had a block party in the summer. It looked great from my house. As I peeked through the window with all the shades down, we couldn't go out for dinner that night.
Wow, you are.
We couldn't go out. I said to my wife, "We're stranded. The block party has stranded us because if they see us drive out." First of all, they put the bouncy castle right by our driveway.
Oh, no.
So we couldn't get out if we wanted to. So if we wanted to take a walk somewhere, then they would have been looking at us. Well, why aren't you? Now, perfect example, I shouldn't say this because my house will be egged when I get home. Instead of all my Christmas lights, I'm going to have eggs. But
at least they'll be green and red.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully with a little touch of yellow.
Yeah.
What would green with yellow make? Yeah, get your primary color board out.
We'll work on that.
But so I just got the notice in the mailbox for the progressive block party. You know what that is? Where you go from house to house. It's like a pub crawl.
Yeah. How are you going to keep them from going to your house?
Oh, I turn all the lights out.
Yeah.
And once again, shades down.
Yeah.
Not a light on.
Okay.
And like every house that is, I'm a great neighbor. Because I never bother anybody.
Apparently.
I don't interact with anybody, but I also don't bother you. See, that's my spin. I'm the best neighbor. You don't know I'm there. But yeah, so what happens, every house that is involved in the progressive Christmas party, they put the bags, the little lunch bags with candles in them
to line the sidewalk.
Line the sidewalk so that everybody who's progressing knows. And then they come to my house and it's almost like the Black Forest.
Yeah, because
they go into an abyss. Because it's all dark.
Right.
I will shut my lights out on that day, even though I love to be festive and Christmassy. On that day, I will, and that's what I did, as I said many times, I don't answer my door on Halloween. So.
Yeah, that's right. I remember.
So, my house looks like Amityville Horror House. It is completely black. I want to send a message to any potential trick-or-treater, this is not a house you want to stop at. And it worked.
You're such a joyful
fellow. Oh, I know, aren't I? What a pleasure to live with.
No, your wife is a saint.
She's more than that. She's like the Pope. Anyway, it's Jim Toronto here at WGN Nightside. I've got Ben Anderson working the production knobs for me today. Never worked with Ben, so we'll have a little fun here. Even though, as I said, it's a brief show. We get done at 1 o'clock, and we'll hand it off to Brian Noonan, who's filling in for Nick DiGiulio. Right now, there's only so much that can be planned in an hour and 20 minutes now, or hour and 40 minutes. But as I usually always do, I try to jam at least 7 pounds of bologna into a 1 pound bag. And so that's what we're going to do. So I said, at the top of the hour, at midnight, we will be celebrating the end of the Thanksgiving holiday and the beginning of the Christmas holiday and the beginning, official beginning. I know some stores opened earlier today for Black Friday, but at 12 and 1 second, that's the official beginning of Black Friday, and we will commemorate that. And later in the show, around 12:30, or right after that, if you heard the news, it's exciting in my life. I'd love to share the story with you. And there's a story behind the story, which a lot of people haven't heard. But back on October 19th, just a month or so ago, in Madison Square Garden in New York, I was attending an Elton John concert, number 182 at the time, and he dedicated a song to me during the concert, which just still blows my mind. So I will tell you that whole story, as well as the story behind this story and how that happened, and why I think it happened. And it was just a little interesting kind of thing. So we've got lots planned, and also you are always, always, always invited to join in the fun. 312-981-7200 is a phone, and of course that's the same thing for the text. Love to hear what you're doing here on a final hours, final 40 minutes, if you will, of Thanksgiving 2018. I'm Jim Toronto. I will be your host until 1 o'clock. We will take a quick break. We'll be back after this. Hey, no switching. And it's Selton Jim Toronto hosting the WGN Nightside program here till 1 a.m. on a Thanksgiving evening. Roger, you there?
Always.
Always.
Well, not always. I don't. Dealing absolute.
You know, Jim Toronto is on the radio when you hear.
I can smell it all the way in here.
And smell.
The aroma.
The aroma of Kashmir Woods.
Yeah, thank you.
I have to say, I really. Well, my ego, of course, makes this impossible not to. Every time I go to a store, the Kashmir Woods is the least available.
Oh, there you go.
I really believe that I am making a dent. I am getting absolutely no kickbacks from Glade. In fact, one time, a couple of years ago, when I first discovered Kashmir Woods, I wanted to have someone on to talk about it.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't even come on.
That's a shame.
Now, they sent me a nice basket of Kashmir Woods products, which was nice. Now you were saying, Roger, that you went to the store recently to find your own favorite scent, which is what?
Lavender.
Oh,
I love lavender.
That is so.
When I had a garden, I had several lavender.
That is
plants.
So pedestrian.
No, it's not.
Everybody like. Who doesn't like lavender?
I'll give you a little tip. Hold on a second now. So if you have lavender plants in your garden, or you know,
my wife planted those. They smell amazing.
Well, you know how you actually can have a better scent from those.
No.
So during the summer.
I didn't know we were doing a garden segment.
Yes, we are.
Roger, how do you... Look, I'm looking at my script.
Yeah.
I see nothing about Roger's garden segment, but we'll give it to you anyway.
We're pushing sponsorship. So... You got your wooden...
Is Amlings out there? Amlings?
I wish.
They're not, I don't think they exist anymore, do they?
No, they don't.
If
she still has the plants, once they're bloomed, and all you have to do is you walk by and just grab one of the little leaves, don't pull it off, but just kind of rub it gently. Just rub the leaf, the green leaf, gently. The oils are in the leaves.
Oh.
And if you rub it gently and then... smell your fingers in a polite way. you will have that delicious lavender scent, from the plant. That's how you get it. The blooms are not necessarily the lavender scent part. It's the leaves. It's the oils in the leaves.
See, we learn something every day.
So I love the lavender, and I had one of those car scent. Little cubes.
Which
that you
I
stick
don't.
In your
I like
air
those.
Blower.
They don't work. They don't work as long as they say they
no,
do.
They go out real fast.
But they do when they work. They work.
And if you find the right one, some are overwhelming.
Yeah.
with the aroma. Others are very light. And there was one brand that I'd been buying for the longest time. It was perfect. Unfortunately, that brand has changed all the scents. And the packaging on their stuff, so I can't find it anymore. So I had to go online and find a couple, and I put a new one in. It's not quite the same. But the last time I went to look, I went to glance, because I knew I wouldn't find the one I wanted. Yeah. And as I glanced, my eyes just instinctively, just
I'm telling you.
Rigidly hit the display
and there
of Kashmir Wood. But it wasn't the spray.
Oh.
It was the kind you would set in a room where you just turn the top.
Right, yeah, you lift the thing up.
You lift it up a little bit and there's
It's like a gel.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, yeah, I've had
inside,
that.
Yeah.
I've had that.
And I saw that and I said, ooh, I should buy some for Jim. And I said, why should I buy some? He's got a garage full. Doesn't need any from me.
I've got the scented candle, the big and the small.
Okay.
I have bought that gel thing.
Okay, all right.
I've even bought the electric plug-in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, here's something that someone put on my Facebook page just this week, which I have to see if this really exists or if this was a joke.
What?
The person said it was, they saw this at Menards. And once again, I'm not trying to promote anything. I'm just, right. This is where they said they saw it. So they posted a picture of it. It was something called a paint scent. So in other words, you pour this substance. I assume it's a liquid.
The cashmere wood.
Thus the word pour.
Yeah. Wow, you're quick.
Hey, I'm a linguist. And
you can see the doctor for that.
Yeah. And apparently you pour this into your paint, and then when you paint it, your room, the paint smells like this scent. So they had cashmere woods scent that you can pour into paint. Now, I've got an accent wall in my living room.
What's the accent? French?
Wee-wee.
Down and the hall.
I've got a little accent wall that I've been toying with painting for a while.
Oh.
So now I'm thinking, now I'm a little motivated.
Okay.
To perhaps now paint that wall if this stuff exists. Now, the interesting thing that I found, you talked about accents. There is a right. tie-in. That's why Roger's a pro. He doesn't even know why he's a pro.
I don't have no clue.
The person that posted this, the packaging for this cashmere woods paint scent was all in French.
Ooh.
So I don't know if this is a foreign product.
Interesting.
But I don't know if this is a trend that's going mm-hmm. on in Europe. Now, you were talking about oils. Wouldn't you think that that the cashmere woods scent would be oily?
Most pure scents. That's not like prepackaged, like the spray or uh-huh. that gel thing we thought. Most of those that you buy are oil based.
So how could you? I know.
So you just use a little.
Well, I know nothing about paints, and I have a friend who's right. a painter. I should call him. But so my question is, if I put this oil based scent mm-hmm. into a water based paint,
oil and water don't mix.
Yeah, right. I mean, am I going to have an explosion?
No, you're not going to have an explosion.
I'm just joking. Well, I didn't do well in
aroma.
I didn't do well in chemistry, but no. my question is it going to mix? I don't know.
Yeah, see, I don't know, and I don't yeah. know how it applies in the paint.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other thing. You remember Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original one?
Pure imagination.
Do you remember when they walked into the room where they had scented
yeah.
wallpaper?
Right, yeah.
You scratch and sniff.
Maybe that's
like
where they got the idea.
I bet you we'll walk into your little hallway and we'll scratch and sniff.
Either that, or we'll find a magic gobstopper.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Augustus, like get out of that chocolate river, Augustus.
My Augustus!
I hated Mike TV, though. My most unfavorite character in that movie.
Which one?
Mike TV. If you remember that little kid?
So obnoxious.
I just didn't like. Well, I just the whole character made no sense to me.
Oh my god!
I'm sure it was some kind of a statement that Roald Dahl was making on television and how it was corrupting.
Probably,
but
sure.
I really did not. That was the one.
He was talking about excesses.
Yeah, I didn't like that character.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is. What do we got here? Oh, why are we on military time on this clock? It's 23:31 in here.
Well, I've got.
What am I in Stalag 13?
I know nothing.
I mean, it's on military time. I guess it's 11:32.
Yes.
Okay.
Good guess.
Jim Toronto, your host today on, or tonight right now, on WGN Nightside. It is 11:32. The news is actually sponsored. They must have heard I was on. Jim Toronto, your host this evening at WGN, 7:20 a.m. for WGN Nightside. Welcome. An interesting evening on it is Christmas. It is the eve of the Christmas season, I should say. We've only got about, 32 minutes left to officially celebrate Thanksgiving. So now is your time to go to that refrigerator and get the last bit of turkey.
Was math your strong suit in school?
Why, isn't that right? 33?
You said 32 minutes?
Yeah.
It's more like 22 minutes.
Oh, pfft.
You've been sniffing. I always forget the about cashmere woods again.
I always forget to carry the one. Damn that! Carry the one.
You're still looking at the military clock. And
yeah, well,
that's
I'm totally thrown by this military clock. I can't. And the funny thing is, I'm looking at the military clock. Right above it is the is another digital clock that says 11:38, and then above that there is a round clock with hands and numbers. Mm-hmm. And I am just totally focused on this military clock, and it's throwing me. Although I used to always love, I was never good at carrying the one, but I loved in grammar school when we did long division.
Mm-hmm.
I loved a remainder.
Ah, with the little R,
the small little R. You got to write R4.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I loved it. I always hoped that there was a remainder.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, hey, you know, Miss Elisher, I got remainder 4. I didn't think it was straight.
Oh, really?
I got the remainder 4. Thank you very much. Yeah. I always thought that it was like I was the only one who did it correct and got the remainder. But you put the little R. Now, see, nowadays, I'm sure
that
kids don't even... They learn multiplication a completely different way, I understand. Mm-hmm. But we had to just learn those by memorization.
Exactly. By rote, sure.
And then, I loved long division. I don't know what it was about my brain. It just made... long division made sense to me. It was organized. I loved making the little house for the numbers, you know, when you put the 20 outside and you put the other one inside the little house.
Wait a minute, which one are you talking? House?
Where'd long division. House? Don't you? You don't remember? You used to.
A house.
Well, it was a structure.
It wasn't a. It was two lines. It was a horizontal line.
Yeah,
a long horizontal line.
Yeah, but
one small.
Okay,
vertical
what's
line.
The definition of a structure? There's something inside. You put the number inside.
There were four lines.
You put the number inside. There was one number outside and one number inside and one number on the top.
You're talking about a house that hasn't been finished being built yet.
What was the top? That was the roof.
Wow.
That's where you put your number. You divided into a structure. And then what your remainder, mm-hmm. what do you do with the remainder, Roger? You put it outside on your roof. Didn't you get that?
No.
See?
I
told you, I loved long division. The funny thing is, I just came up with that theory right now.
Good.
The whole structure, the whole roof.
I was just wondering if that was something that drew you in class, but
I'm proud of that.
This makes long division fun. It's a house.
Now, if my teacher back then would have said, look, you build a house, and you put your remainder outside your house like your garbage, I would have said, let's go. Now this is easy.
Well, you're lucky you're not teaching.
Oh. My kids would have... I loved long division. I don't know why, but...
Well, it's funny. When I'm helping the grandkids with division...
Oh, yeah.
I automatically go into the long division mode.
Yeah, and they don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, they say, Grandpa, nope, that's not the way we do it.
Yeah. I discovered that about 10, 11 years ago. I was helping a grammar school kid at the time, with their multiplication. Yeah. And they created this latticed grid.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, I got news for you.
Mm-hmm.
7 times 8, 56. I don't know what you're doing with all these, you know, this fence you're building here. 7 times 8, 56. That's all it is.
And I'll explain it to you real quick. So apparently between the time you and I were in school and now, educators who weren't teaching anymore.
Oh, they're the ones
they
who
were
came up with
researching.
Ah.
They decided that not all kids learn the same way that we did back in our day, where everyone learned the same way.
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh. So they have come up with multiple methods of teaching math.
Yeah, I know.
And
that's
English.
That's where we are today.
Well,
you know what?
Well,
enough with your multiples. Just get your. You know what? My day, we didn't have any lattice.
Yeah, my day.
You just had to know that 6 times 9 was 54.
We didn't have a sharpener in class. We just stuck the pencil in our mouth and shoot it until we had a lead point.
You know how old I am? In first grade, we used slates.
Oh, look.
Remember a slate?
Yeah.
That was a little chalkboard.
Mm-hmm.
A personalized. And I remember the teacher saying, okay, go get your slates.
That's right.
A slate.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that song, you wrote on my slate, I love you so, when we were a couple of daisy, daisy, give me your answer to. Yeah, I had a slate.
I'm sorry? Okay.
That's pretty sad. I'm not that old, and I had a slate.
Did you have a calculator?
Yeah, towards the end of grammar school, we got the Texas Instrument.
Ooh.
Yeah, remember the Texas Instrument?
Yeah. No, we didn't ever have those. We had, actually, in my beginning math classes, we used a slide rule.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I thought you used a sundial.
No, that was for telling time, silly, in science.
I figured, in your time, I mean, weren't you...
Well, we used the sundial
to tell time. You were using pebbles and... Yeah, weren't you using pebbles?
And back then, it was in military time, too, so, you know.
Yeah. It's 2343, by the way. Coming on clink over here.
Hello.
So, do we need to take a break there, Benny? Yeah. Are you known as Benny or just Ben, or what is your name there?
Yeah, just Ben.
Ben? Okay. Yeah. I called him Benny. You just saw the stare he just gave me.
Yeah, I'm not one of
the Jets. It's not Benny.
I'm not with the Jets.
Nice tie-in.
Yeah.
Wow, Benny.
Well, you just got a raise for that, Ben.
Well, hey, I got news for you, Roger. He picked the most obvious song.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, he gets maybe, you know, a little kudo, but not a whole kudo.
Okay.
I don't just dish out kudos.
Yeah.
It is, according to my military clock, it is 2344. Reveille will be in 1700 hours. Why do we?
You should play that at midnight.
Yeah, I know.
For everybody going out to the...
Yeah, I've got KP duty at 0600. What the heck is going on here? Where are we at?
Camp WGN.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. My gosh. I'll try to focus on that other bright red one that says 1145. I will take a quick break. This is Jim Toronto, your host this evening and into this morning for WGN Nightside. We'll be back after this. No switching. Jim Toronto here at WGN, 720 a.m. in Chicago. Hosting the Nightside show. I enjoy this show. It's a short show. As I said, it's kind of a little speed bump kind of show. But at the same time, it's a funky little show because you get a little bit of one day and a little bit of the other day. And so today is especially interesting because, as we all know, we are in the last throes. Roger, by the way, is now 12 minutes. How's my addition there? I carried the one this time.
You got it, buddy.
12 minutes left to Thanksgiving. And then, as we know, we cannot wait for the holiday season. I mean, almost at this point now, Black Friday has been extended to like November 5th. We've got radio stations in town that have switched their formats to Christmas stations. And it almost seems like almost as the dessert is being served on Thanksgiving.
Right.
The Christmas season has started. You can't even wait until, you know, the four berry pie is eaten. Mm-hmm. You're already getting into it. We've been, we just can't wait for Christmas and all those sales. So as I said, as we celebrate the onset of Black Friday, we will have a Black Friday countdown.
Oh, yeah.
And we will do it with the same pomp and circumstance as New Year's Eve because it is that big of a deal. I think there are more people celebrating Black Friday than people that go out on New Year's Eve. There's probably bigger lines, at least.
Well, of course,
at some
because
places.
They spent so much on Black Friday, they can't afford to go
They spent everything in November. Yeah, they have nothing left in January.
Yeah.
Now, I was heartened to see that some stores have actually decided not to open on Thanksgiving, which was, I thought, nice.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to trace where this whole Black Friday phenomenon started, and it wasn't an intense research, but just by my own thoughts, the idea of a store attracting a frenzy is what was my criteria for what Black Friday is, because that's what it's become.
Okay.
Everybody waiting and then charging the doors and.
But you know, you could say that the same thing about like when a new
I think this is my conspiracy theory.
Okay.
I believe that when stores in the mid '80s with the introduction of the Cabbage Patch Kid.
Oh yeah.
In the mid '80s. If people don't know what that is, you know, Google it, Cabbage Patch Kid, but it was this little doll that everybody had to have, and it was a unique doll. It had its own name and blah, blah, blah. It was the toy, for 1 year. And people were literally fighting for these dolls. There was mayhem in stores. There was fist fights. People were arrested. It really was ridiculous, and it became a phenomenon. It got very publicized, and I think that was kind of a light bulb for retailers to say, people, you know, we can get free publicity because even though there were fights, they had to say it was at Goldblatt's.
Right.
So any publicity is good publicity. So I think the beginning of the Cabbage Patch and the frenzy and the mayhem that surrounded that as people struggled to get them sort of, you know, created a little light bulb for some retailers to go, well, what if we can't always have an item like this that is going to attract people with this same kind of frenzy, but you know what can also maybe do that? Low prices. Dirt low prices. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where this whole thing started. I had to laugh. I'm watching television the other night, and you know there's these stores locally called The Dump.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Well, they're selling, and I don't even know if this is politically correct to say this anymore, but they said it on the commercial, so I'm going to say it. They have Oriental rugs. Now, I don't know if they're Asian-American rugs or Oriental rugs, but they had Oriental rugs, and they said, we are going to take a 90% loss. This is the biggest sale we've ever had in our history. We are ready to take a 90% loss on our Oriental rug. So come to The Dump.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I still don't know if they're going to have a run on Oriental rugs. I don't know how many people want an Oriental rug. So even though they are having dirt low prices, that one I don't think there'll be a frenzy. But we talked about Thanksgiving here, and I wanted to get somebody on the phone here who... And you may remember this guy from the afternoon show many years. Well, not too many years ago, but for me, it feels like many years ago. Remember Johnny from Michigan?
Johnny from Michigan. Well, you had so many characters.
Yeah, we did have. Well, here's Johnny from Michigan.
Hello,
people,
guys.
Hey, Johnny from Michigan. Johnny
Happy
from
Thanksgiving, and it's already Black Friday where I'm at.
Oh, that's right. Johnny is in Michigan. They are in Eastern time. So
I was at Walmart. I live down the street from Walmart. I was at Walmart talking to my friends tonight, and a couple of them said they were able to have Thanksgiving dinner and all that with their families and that.
Yeah. So, well, he's already. Well, we
and
didn't
some
have
of them
our.
Said
we
said they had chicken too in the store.
We didn't
some
have
of
our.
The store bought them chicken.
We didn't have our countdown yet, Johnny. So we are still
on.
We are still on. I don't know, White Wednesday. Or White Thursday. I don't know what it is, right? If it's white,
it would be Gray Thursday.
Gray, right? Yeah, it's kind of gray
to Black Friday.
Yeah, that's true. We're heading in. We're past the white. We're definitely into a different shade of gray. But
if you don't mind, I have a lot to be thankful for. Even though, with my health concerns, I think I've told you a little bit about it. If you want, it's up to you if I want to. If you think I should speak about it, so do you think I should speak about a little bit about it?
Let me first give people a little intro as to who you are. So several years ago on the afternoon show, we met Johnny outside the window when the Showcase Studio was there, because he was walking by in the afternoon and he put a sign up on the window that said, "My dad was Dwight Eisenhower's dentist."
I remember that.
And so, I mean, how do you turn that down to say we have to talk to him? So we turned the microphone on, and Johnny became a regular fixture, very popular with the audience, and we always liked Johnny. He would come to the studio every so often. He comes to Chicago a lot, and he lives on his own.
I'll be there next month.
Oh, there you go. He travels around the country.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so he definitely takes a big bite out of life. And you do have some medical problems that you have encountered, but we don't need to dwell on those. I like to say, what does a Johnny from Michigan do on Thanksgiving?
Well, since most of my family is deceased around me, I have a couple cousins. And my cousin Irene's a Catholic nun, and her friend is her friend Teresa is a president of the St. Vincent de Paul in Detroit as a charity. And Teresa invited Irene and myself for dinner with her brother Christopher, and we watched our Lions lose. We had a Thanksgiving Day dinner with turkey and everything.
So what is a Johnny eating on Thanksgiving?
We had turkey. I had cranberries with sweet potatoes or yams, whatever you call it. Some people do that. And dinner roll, potatoes gravy, and the turkey was really good. I had white meat.
Oh yeah,
did you have any stuffing?
Yeah, but I had just sage and something else. sage and bread stuffing or something.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. How about for dessert?
Pumpkin pie.
Oh, I love pumpkin pie.
And I had I didn't have any liquor at the dinner table today. I had a sparkling grape juice, or what do you call it?
Oh, there you go.
Tonight for dinner, for a side, I had I went to Frankenmuth a couple weeks ago, and I got a bottle of beer called Bavarian Inn. It's a restaurant up in Frankenmuth, and they have their own brewery up there. I just tried it for the first time. It was pretty good tonight.
Very good. And so you're coming to Chicago soon?
Yeah, my birthday's New Year's Eve. I'm going to do something new this time. I'm going on something called the Game Show. And it's over in the Fine Arts Building, and it'll be on YouTube after. I guess it'll be on YouTube after the show is over. So
yeah, Johnny travels. Johnny travels all around the country. He's got pictures. He had picture with. Didn't you have a picture with Stan Lee?
Yeah, I met Stan Lee twice in Chicago.
Yeah, the creator of Spider-Man who just passed away. I mean, he goes to all those Comic Cons. He comes to the one here in Chicago. He goes to the ones around the country, and I have to say.
There's going to be a Comic-Con down the road for me where they're going to have the original cast of Sesame Street, Bob McGrath, and they're going to have Roscoe, who was Gordon, and a couple other people from Sesame Street going to be down there in February, I know.
Hold on 1 second, Johnny. I take a quick break, and Johnny will be with us as we count down the last seconds of the Thanksgiving holiday. So stay tuned right here. Jim Tirano, your host tonight on WGN Nightside. We'll be back after this. No switching.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Hey, it's Jim Tirano here at WGN Nightside. Roger, are you there?
I'm here. I'm ready for the countdown.
We are approaching. Here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, listen to Johnny, 3, 2, 1. Hey, happy Black Friday! Congratulations, Roger!
Wow, I'm broke already.
We've made it to another Black Friday!
Yes, we have! Is there a lady in there I can get a kiss from? We can put a first kiss on.
That's it! Johnny gets it! Johnny just...
That concert was a good concert, though.
Johnny just... I always get emotional on Black Friday. We made it again, Roger.
I'm so happy.
Well, Thanksgiving is over. It's the Christmas season officially. And I'm so happy. I've got my festive pin on my coat.
Yeah.
When I go home, it's not a brooch, Johnny. Johnny! It is a festive pin. Women wear brooches. Virile men wear festive pins. Always remember that.
But I will tell you.
What's that?
You get a head. You got to wait till what date to celebrate Christmas?
What date?
Yeah. What's the date? Well, you have to wait to
25th.
Yeah, December 25th.
Yeah, but it's the Christmas season now. It's official
now. I know it's the Christmas season, but it's also the.
What?
Hanukkah season.
When is Hanukkah this year?
December
2nd. When is Hanukkah, my Jewish friend?
December 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Really?
At sundown. It's early this year.
Well, I wish you naches.
In your gefilte fish.
I wish you, I hope.
Shalom.
That, I hope,
yeah,
shalom.
Johnny.
I hope that, Roger, I hope that your Hanukkah is not a Mishigas. I hope that the Mashiach comes for you on this Hanukkah with the lights and everything like that. And once again, naches for you, my Jewish friend. I love the Yiddish language.
Still around with us? I apologize. Is Alan Sherman still around with us, or did he pass on?
Who?
Alan Sherman, the Cat in the Hat.
Oh, wow.
I remember Alan Sherman.
That's why you
got
to love Johnny. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Johnny, hold on. I got to take some news here with Hanukkah Harry. Oh. And then we'll be back and talk to Johnny a little more. And a little more before we leave here at 1 o'clock, we will talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. And I will also tell you the background story about my amazing moment at Madison Square Garden in New York on October 19th, when Elton John himself dedicated a song to me as I stood right there in front of him. It was an amazing moment that will live with me in infamy. But right now, You know what the great thing about military time is, Roger?
No.
Now it is 0-0. So now I get it now. That 23 threw me.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
It starts all over at
0-0. Yeah, so now it's 0-0. Yeah. So now I have no problems telling time.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so that's
good. What time is it?
It is 12. Oh, gee. Let me say this thing first here. Thank you for inviting us into your car, your home, your life. We are very grateful for that. To be Chicago's very own at WGN 720 Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say, play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is 12, according to my clock, it is 0-0-3. In Chicago.
0-0-3.
Right? Don't they say 0-600? Or what do they say?
It's not.
0-600, right?
No, 0-600 would be
6 a.m.
6 a.m.
Yeah, well, it's 0 now. So right. It's 0-100.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said 0-100.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. What am I? Hey, I've never been in the military. I told you, the palms of my hands are like as soft as a baby's bottom.
The big hands on the minutes.
Well, I'm looking at that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go civilian right now.
Okay,
I'm not gonna go military. I'm gonna go civilian.
All right.
Hey, welcome back to WGN Nightside. Elton Jim Toronto with you here this morning. It is now officially this morning. It is no longer tonight. It is now this morning. It is 14 minutes after midnight. We are now officially in the Christmas season. We have just 14 minutes ago, we celebrated the coming of Black Friday. So happy Black Friday to you. Can no longer need to say happy Thanksgiving. That's in the taillights. It is now happy Black Friday and happy Christmas season. And I do have my festive pin on. I've got my tree up in the house. The red and white floodlights are on the house. I'm already Christmased up. I took a little shortcut and got things up early. So now, when Thanksgiving was gone, boom, we're already into the Christmas season. So Benny and the Jets, my producer tonight, Ben Anderson, tells me I've already got to take a break. right out of news. Oh, okay, I have a little live read, and then we'll go to take a break. It doesn't matter. We got 45 minutes to go. I will say goodbye to Johnny. Was Johnny there? Johnny, are you there?
Yep, I'm right here.
You know, Johnny, I'm sorry. Today's show is so short, and I'm running kind of late. The next time I come on, we will definitely spend a little more time with you. But thank you for calling. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
One quick question. Where are you at now? You moved the building, right? You moved out of that building, right?
Yeah, we're at 303 Wacker. So it's an office building. It won't be as easy to find it probably, but next time I come on, I will definitely have you on. I apologize.
Is that lower Wacker Drive or Jig and Elbow going on?
No, upper lower. Upper Wacker. All
right. Yeah, 303 East Wacker Drive, Upper Wacker Drive.
Upper Wacker
Drive. Just east of Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
How far from Ray's Music Exchange?
Right, I guess. I don't know what he's
talking about. How far from where?
Ray's Music Exchange.
That's from the Blues Brothers movie. And of course, I'll have to take what's his line there? Ray goes, and I'll have to wait.
Have a great Black Friday.
Okay, take care, buddy. Always good to hear from Johnny. Tonight, Levine and the boys. Is it Levine or Levine on the Bulls? I'm not a big Bulls fan.
I think it's
fan.
Levine.
Yeah, I think it's Levine. Mm-hmm. Tonight, Levine and the boys host Miami. Then on Saturday, the Bulls take on the Timberwolves. These back-to-back Bulls weekend starts tonight at 7 on WGN-TV. I'm Jim Toronto, your host for the WGN Nightside Show. We'll get another 45 minutes or so hang on. I'm going to tell you my story about how Elton John, gave Elton Jim a song dedication during a show in New York at Madison Square Garden. Pretty cool. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch more after this break. No switching. Jim Toronto with you here at WGN 720 AM in Chicago. WGN Nightside. I just like this Donald Fagen New Frontier song. I think it really fits the mood for a WGN Nightside. If you remember, those of you who are old enough to remember, there used to be a news program on WGN television called Nightbeat with Marty McNeely.
Yep. McNeely was one of, I think, a couple of...
Yeah, but I remember Marty McNeely as the main guy, and they used to play like a jazzy kind of music, and they used to show the skyline of Chicago or like a street scene. Like late at night, you know, like
before videotape, it was film.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. And so when I was, I've hosted this night side show a few times, and so I thought this would be a really nice little mood setter for the night side show. And,
very nice.
So here we are. After 12:30, I will tell my little Elton John story about how he dedicated a song to
me. We got to wait for
that's
it?
A tease. Oh, well, you know what? It's longer than. It's a longer than a 10-minute story, and I don't want to cut it, and so I'd rather give it a little time.
Yeah.
And but I did want to mention one thing. So first of all, as I said, we are officially now into Black Friday. It is officially the Christmas season, and I know that because I've got my Hallmark ornament here, my Countdown to Christmas ornament, which I have had for several years now.
Mm-hmm.
And the coolest thing about this is it's a little Santa coming out of a chimney.
Okay.
And there's the chimney, and then there's a screen in the chimney. It's a digitized screen. And what's so cool about this is that you can start on October 1st, and you set the time, the date, and then it counts down to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, Roger, I don't want you to start getting your abacus out or your slide rule,
mm-hmm.
like you said earlier. Okay. Very relatable, by the way.
Thank you.
wow. Slide rule.
I got your slide rule.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, right at the top of your head, how many days and minutes you think before Christmas?
Before Christmas, which would be at midnight
real
on
quick.
The 25th.
Yeah. Real quick.
How many days?
How many days? What do you think it is?
24 and 7 is 31.
All right. You're right. 31 days,
mm-hmm.
23 hours, and 37 minutes.
Okay.
It is Christmas. And so I've had this thing counting down now since October 15th.
Is that the earliest it can?
No, it can do October 1st, but I always forget.
Oh,
because it seems so early.
Right.
And I do keep this in one of our cabinets. I don't put it with the Christmas stuff. I put it in one of our cabinets that I would go into on a regular basis so that I would see it.
Okay.
And of course, but I mean, October 1st, you don't even think about Christmas yet. But I did remember on the 15th, I go, wait a minute, I think you can start it. And so I did start it when there were 69 days.
Wow.
And now we are down to 31 days.
Very good.
I mean, we're in the home stretch now. I mean, you know, some months actually have 31 days. So we can actually say Christmas is about a month away.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's really 31 days, 23 minutes, or 23 hours and 37 seconds.
Very cool.
So, yeah. And so we have that up, and it's on the kitchen counter. And every so often, you just give it a look, and it tells you when's Christmas is coming. So that's how I know Christmas is coming. I also know because, as I said, my house is completely decorated, all mm-hmm. 20 bins of our Christmas stuff. Love Santa, and I have to say that you know how you know you go to a. And I've never gone, and I don't know if you've ever gone, Roger. I don't know what your personal. Life may be, or your personal problems. Here we go. Have you ever been to an AA? You ever been to an AA meeting? I hope you haven't.
No, I have not.
Well, good for you.
Nope.
But from what I understand, you go and you say, hi, my name is Jim, and I'm an alcoholic. And they mm-hmm. say, hi, Jim. And then you tell your story.
Okay.
Well, I am not going to an AA meeting, but I'm going to an SA, NTA meeting.
Oh, I like what you did there.
Thank you. That's why I'm on at 11 o'clock at night. That's why they put me on now.
God help us.
Yeah. They think I'm a vampire.
Really?
They don't think that I can broadcast when the sun is
up. You melt during the light.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think they just think I'm a vampire. I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway, so I am a Santa addict. My name is Jim, and I'm a Santa addict. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to humor him, folks.
I love Santa. And so, my wife is a big fan of snowmen. So basically, our house is a Christmas winter wonderland filled with red and white for Santa and then a lot of snowmen with, you know, different incarnations of hats and everything. So our house is just red and white, pretty much. Little few touches of green here and there, but all red and white. I love Santa. Now, if you've listened to me with any kind of regularity, a couple of years ago, I started to declutter our house. I'm kind of a pack rat. At least I was. My mom certainly was. And I said, it's time that we start getting rid of a lot of this stuff. So I, over the last couple of years, I've gotten rid of like 32 bins of stuff. And I'm pretty proud of that. For the first time we've had the house in 20 years, our basement actually echoed. There was an echo. First time. So I've been pretty good at throwing things out and not recollecting new things. So that's the key. Not only do you have to declutter, but you can't reclutter. You have to declutter, but you can't reclutter. And I think I've been pretty good. I've been tempted, and I'm not completely cured. But when it comes to Santas, I cannot resist it. And I believe that I am a Santa addict now, because it was very clear to me. Just last weekend, my wife and I went to a few stores just to get into the Christmas mood. We went out to Tree Time out in Lake Barrington, and we got a few things out there. And then we went to this Hallmark store. Once again, I'm not trying to plug Hallmark, but they have some really cool stuff there, and they have some really cool Santa dolls that I bought there over the past. And I walked in, and right on the display table, right in front of the door, there was this big, chubby, stuffed Santa doll, and I made a sound, like a lustful sound, my wife said. I just went, like, you know when Homer Simpson sees a donut? I literally went, oh. And my wife goes, oh my God, what are you looking at? No, it wasn't a woman. It was the Santa doll. And so go online. You go to Hallmark.com, you see this thing. It's really cool looking. It's called Santa in Evergreen. I don't know what that means, but that's what the name of the doll is, and I had to have it. And so he is now welcoming people when you walk in, you see him. And I've been doing so good over the last couple of years of not over-Santa-izing after getting rid of so much stuff. But, you know, I just, when it comes to Santa, I love Santa! It's Santa! So I don't know. I am a Santa addict, and I guess I'm just going to have to live with it. And but my gosh, I loved this Santa. And then I forgot, we went on vacation last year over Christmas, and I found a bag full of Santa ornaments that we bought. So maybe I haven't kicked the habit. I do have to go, not to an AA meeting, to a S-A-N-A-T-A, right?
No, you plunk spelling too.
Did I spell Santo or you Santa? Did I spell Santo?
No, you said Santa.
Santa.
Yeah.
Oh, now I sound like Ronnie.
Yes, you do.
I'm a Santa. Hey, Ronnie. I'm a Santa addict.
Ronnie, are you a Santa addict?
Yes, yes, Patrick. Okay. Yes, Patrick, I am a Santa.
I just want to double check.
An S-A-N-T-A.
Very good.
Addict.
There you know what you do need to get, though?
What's
which
that?
Would be beautiful.
What's that?
These would be for your tree.
Yeah.
Okay. The Santa lights, but with the bubble on top, you know, figure of Santa, and then above their head is that little bubbly
that's
liquid
cool. Right.
That warms up from the light.
Nice.
Yeah, and they sell those.
There's so much cool Santa
and
stuff.
You could, I know.
I love Santa. I love Santa! Jim Toronto, the host of Nightside, WGN Nightside here at WGN 720 AM. It is 0129. We'll take a quick break. No switching. Elton Jim Toronto with you here at WGN 720 AM in Chicago. WGN Nightside. Be here for another carry the one. 21 minutes.
Yay, give them a candy bar.
Remainder four. And people, if you were listening an hour ago, you are laughing at that joke. If you just turned on now, you have no idea what remainder four means. That's why you have to listen. This is an ongoing conversation, folks. This is not something you just casually, you know, happen upon. I was here at 11. Where were you? I was here at 11. 11 to 1. That's my shift. That's when you're supposed to be there. That's my military time kind of drill for those folks. So I wanted to talk about something that really cool happened to me about a month ago. My nickname is Elton Jim, right? So, and if you've listened with any kind of regularity, you know, yes, I've been to all these Elton John concerts. Actually, it's probably no small feat. It's up to 186 now. 186. Elton John concert since first one was in 1976 at the Chicago Stadium on July 27th, 1976. I was 12 years old. My mom took me, And even though she's no longer with me and with us, whenever I go to a concert, I still feel like she's standing right next to me, and I still get the goosebumps when Elton comes out. And that's one reason why I always keep going. It's just it's a nice little memory that I always hold. And I was so grateful that my mom took me to that concert, because you got to remember, 1976, little kids didn't go to concerts like they do now. It's a whole different world. There was a lot of drugs at concerts. It was still kind of a rough. There were, you know, people would throw M80s at concerts. There was, you know, festival seating. If you remember, at a Who concert in 1979, a bunch of people died. Rock concerts were not the mainstream. They were not as well organized. It was still kind of a ragtag thing. But my mom knew what a huge fan I was of Elton, and so she took me in that. I don't think either of us back in 1976 would have expected that 42 years later, I would have attended 185 concerts after that first one. And certainly, I don't think anybody would have expected that at the 182nd one of those concerts, that Elton John would have dedicated a song personally to me. And it was a shock. I still haven't really touched the ground. If you've been a passionate fan or admirer of anything in your life, whether it's sports or music or whatever your passion may be, think of the ultimate thing that could have happened between you and that passion and the feeling that you would had. And that is just a touch of what it feels like for me. I'll have to tell you that. So let me just give you, in fact, why don't we play this? This is the actual dedication from Madison Square Garden in New York, the historic Madison Square Garden, on December 19th, 2018, just about a week or a month or so ago.
There's so many people here tonight who are my friends. There's one person I want to dedicate this song to, because I've been talking about you guys up there. This guy from Chicago has been to so many shows. He's one of the loyalest fans in the world. I've never dedicated this song to him, but tonight I'm dedicating this to Jim Toronto. This is you, baby.
Okay, that's not doctored, okay? That's the real thing. And I was blown away. I did not expect that. That was not prearranged. I didn't buy that at a auction. that was Elton John dedicating a song to me. And a lot of people said, geez, well, it's too bad he didn't do it in Chicago. And I said, no, you have to understand, this was Madison Square Garden in New York. You know, if you can make it there, you make it anywhere. This is historic Madison Square Garden, and it's one of it. And Elton has proclaimed that it is his favorite venue in the world to play. So the fact that he did that night in that venue makes it more special. I mean, you know, John Lennon shared a stage with him in 1974. He's had some very memorable moments in Madison Square Garden, and now certainly I have had a very memorable moment in Madison Square Garden. And so, what a shocker! But what was so cool about it, as I said, not only, you know, I was completely unprepared for that, and I will get into that. We'll take a quick break here and I'll tell you, but there's really a cool story behind that. I mean, that to me is cool enough. And I if you heard that, I mean, what I'm really impressed is he said my name correctly. I mean, he said it right. A lot of times people say Toronto, or they say it like, you know, Toronto, Canada. He said it correctly. And if you heard it, it really felt genuine and heartfelt. And so that really means a lot to me, too. And thank God I have that that audio. Thankfully, a friend of mine was there and was just happened to recording the concert on his phone. And he picked that up. And needless to say, I have that burned on a CD. It's in my car. And every 10 seconds, I keep hitting it while I'm driving. Surprise, surprise. But after the break, I will tell you that how this happened and how the stars had to align for this to happen. And it really is kind of an interesting comment on just how random things are in life and how the most unrelated incidents and moments somehow tie together and create something that becomes a reality that really had no reason to happen. And so that's what's kind of cool behind this story. So I'll tell you the story behind the story, and we'll play that little clip again because I can't get enough of that. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. I am Jim Toronto, the host tonight for WGN Nightside. It is 12:45. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back after this. No switching.
There's so many people here tonight who are my friends. There's one person I want to dedicate this song to because I've been talking about you guys out there. This guy from Chicago has been to so many shows. He's one of the loyalest fans in the world. I've never dedicated this song to him, but tonight I'm dedicating this to Jim Toronto. This is you, baby.
Yeah. Wow. That's me. That's me. That's exactly what I said. On October 19th, 2018, just about a month and a half or so ago, in Madison Square Garden in New York, Elton John dedicated Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. And as I said, my feet still haven't really touched the ground. I don't know how I even got home. I don't remember. I think I took a plane home, but I probably could have flown without the American Airlines flight because I was definitely on cloud nine. It was completely unexpected. It was a total shock, and I'll be honest with you, I don't even think that Elton John knew he was going to do that. And so let me explain. So I was going to my 182nd show to see Elton. There were two shows in New York, one on the 18th of October and one on the 19th. So you got to see, if you're an Elton John fan, you got to see him at Madison Square Garden in New York. It's his favorite venue to play in, and he always just brings, from the first minute of the show, he just brings a heightened, elevated energy, and the audience can feel it, and it's always a very special show whenever he plays Madison Square Garden. And he used to hold the record for the most sellouts at Madison Square Garden. He had over 60 during his career, and then Billy Joel started doing a monthly residency, which I think was contrived to actually break that record so a New Yorker would hold it, but that's another story. Anyway, you got to see Elton John at Madison Square Garden if you're an Elton fan. So I went to see the show on the 18th. And a friend of mine from Boston was there as well with his wife, and he had tickets to both shows as well. Now, people always say, Jim, why do you go to both shows? I mean, it's the same show. Why do you have to go to both? Well, this is why you go to both, okay? This is why you go to the second night. So my friend, we both had tickets for the first night. Great show. My friend, about 2 weeks before the show, had a dispute with one of the online ticket brokers, the secondary market. He was buying two tickets, and when they sent him the tickets, they were up in the 300 level. And he's like, no, there's no way that I didn't order these. I ordered these tickets closer to the stage. There's no way. And they said, no, that's what you took. And they were battling him for 2 weeks, and to the point where they were not going to give him better seats. They were not going to give him a refund. So he said, look, he said, there's no way I have these tickets, but there's no way I'm sitting in these seats. He said, so, you know, this is on the 18th after the show's done. He said, so tomorrow in the afternoon, I'm just going to go to Madison Square Garden to the box office, because sometimes they release seats, the stage configurations, or sometimes people don't use seats. And every time, I don't know if that's a big, you know, news to people, but sometimes if the show is sold out, don't think that. Go to the box office. Tickets, sometimes they may not be the greatest seats, but if you want to get into the see the show, you can get probably tickets, you know, many times a single seat. So he said, I'm just going to go and see what I can get because I really don't want to sit in these terrible seats. And I said, fine, well, call me when you're done and I'll meet you back at your hotel when you're done. So he calls me about 2:30 in the afternoon. He says, I just went to the box office at Madison Square Garden. I just got two tickets in the front row. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah. Now, I had good seats, but they weren't in the front row. So I'm just like baffled. I'm like, holy cow. I said, well, you know, congratulations. That's great. And I said, well, I'll come to your hotel and we'll, you know, meet up and then we'll, you know, go out before the show and stuff. So I had to go past Madison Square Garden to get to his hotel. So as I'm walking past Madison Square Garden, I say, well, what the heck? Let me see. I only need a single ticket. My wife wasn't with me. I said, I'm, you know, a lot of times to find one ticket, you can get that easily when you go on the day of the show. So I said, what the heck? If he got a front row ticket, I only need one. There might be a ticket available. So I go to the box office and I say, hi, I'm looking just for one ticket. Anything close up to the front of the stage you have would be great. And the woman says, well, I have a fantastic seat right here. And I'm in my head, I'm saying, look, your idea of fantastic and my idea of fantastic are two different things. My idea of fantastic is sitting on the bench next to Elton. Your idea may be Section 105. It has a nice clear view of the stage. That ain't my idea of fantastic. So I said, well, where is it? She goes, it's right here in the front row in Section B, right in front of him. Holy smokes. So, of course, I play it cool. I'm like, oh, wow, well, I guess I'll take that. And she's like, oh, my cousin went yesterday, and he said it was great. So I, of course, didn't tell her. I'd been to 181 shows before this, and I said, oh, well, I came all the way from Chicago for this. Oh, I'm so happy this worked out for you. And I said, yeah. She says, now make sure you come here early because there's no opening act. And I'm like, oh, thank you for telling me that, even though I know that. I just went the night before, but I didn't want to tell her. I didn't want to ruin her little sense that she did this great thing for me, which she did. So I've got this front row seat. So now I go to my friends at the hotel. I said, what seats do you have? He says, I don't know. They said, I got front row. I said, well, does it beat that? Just like, you know, when you're playing cards, beat that hand. So I have row A. He's got row B. So I figure I am in the front row. We get to the venue, and they must have added a row when they found the stage configuration. They must have added a row or something because he did have front row seat, even though it was B. There was no one in front of him. There was just these two seats where he and his wife were sitting. And I was in a row ahead of him, but there was no one in front of me. But we were both kind of in the front row, and we were about maybe 20 or 40 feet away from one another. So it was very cool. So when I go to an Elton concert, I might as well. I'm in my own world, especially when I'm sitting that close. You know, I'm singing the songs, I'm playing air piano, I'm pointing at him, I'm encouraging him, I'm screaming, I'm doing the whole spiel. And, he knows at least me by sight, I knew. And so, you know, throughout the show we're doing eye contact and he's smiling and I'm, you know, singing the words and he's looking over and he's nodding and bowing. And so we have this little thing going on throughout the whole show. And so he does dedicate a song. He introduces the band, and then if he dedicates a song to anybody, he does it at this point of the concert, and it's usually Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. So earlier, before the show started, Neil Patrick Harris, Brian Noonan just walked in. Which mic are you on, Brian?
Do
you
know? I don't know.
I'm putting them all on.
Three, four, five.
Five? Okay, five. Cool.
I didn't want to interrupt your story.
No. So before the show started, Neil Patrick Harris and his two kids and his husband walk in, and they vacation with Elton every year in France. And then Jewel came in, the wow. singer Jewel. It's New York, you know,
sure.
So it's
yeah.
You know, celebrity-heavy kind of crowd. So if you hear that dedication, he says, I have a lot of friends here tonight. So now I'm just listening. I mean, I've listened to the dedication, fine. But the key is, in the course of the concert, after he says this dedication, that's when they allow the first couple rows to go right up to the lip of the stage. It's like a little stage rush.
Right.
They let people go up. So I'm in the front row. I mean, there's no one in front of me, but I'm not on the lip of the stage. So I got to get up to that next 10, 15 feet. So I'm right there. So I'm just waiting for this dedication to be over. And as soon as he dedicates it to whoever he's going to dedicate it to, then I'm going to make my mad rush because that's when everybody's going to start running. So I'm not even really listening to this. And he says, there's a couple of my friends. So I was like, oh, in my head, I'm like, oh, he's probably going to say, you know, Neil Patrick Harris. So then he says, you know, there's this guy from Chicago. Okay, it still doesn't click into me because he went to rehab here in Chicago in 1990 at Lutheran General Hospital in Park Ridge. There's a Parkside Center, which deals with addictions. So he has a lot of friends here in Chicago that went through that program with him, and he still is friends with him. So I figure it's one of those people. Plus Heather Headley, who was in AIDA, who won a Tony Award, is from Chicago, and maybe she was there. Who knows? So I'm just waiting for this dedication to be over because I want to do this stage rush. And then he says, there's this guy from Chicago who's been to all these shows.
Hold on.
Uh-oh. I go, now I'm in a surreal kind of thing. And now that whole dedication that you heard, it's only 24 seconds long.
Right.
But I'm now going, what? And then he says he's one of the most loyal fans. He's been to all these concerts. And then he says, Jim Toronto, I took a step back, like, you know, Fred Sanford having a heart attack. This is the big one. And the guy next to me goes, "Is that you?" And I'm like, "Yeah."
Oh my God.
And I didn't even hear that last part where he says, "This is for you, baby." My head was completely out of it. So now I'm kind of in shock. Well, now everybody starts to rush the stage. And I'm now slow to rush the stage. Right. And I'm like, "Wait a minute. He's dedicating that song to me. Get out of the way."
Right. It's me.
I get to be in front of him, you know. So I muscled my way and I got there, and I was, as he was looking, he was looking at me while I was singing, and I was saying, thank you, and holding my heart, and thank you, and all that. So it was an amazing, surreal experience. Thankfully, my friend recorded it. And then his video team must have thought this was very, because he doesn't really dedicate songs to fans like that. They sent me, they isolated the actual video feed that
really?
Was on the, so I have this crisp, perfect, pristine video of him dedicating it, and you can't see me, but he turns and smiles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome.
That's unbelievable.
But what I just want to say, and I apologize, I'm running a little late here, but I just want to say,
I got 4 hours.
Okay, that's true, and I only had two, so I'm dying here. But the crazy thing about the story and what life is, so think about this. 2 weeks before, my friend has a dispute with this online secondary market and gets these bad tickets that he says he didn't order.
Right.
If he would have gotten the tickets he originally ordered, he doesn't go to Madison Square Garden that day and get the two front row tickets,
right,
which then inspires me
to wander
to go there and get my front row seat. If I'm not in the front row, Elton doesn't see me and doesn't make this connection, because I really believe he was going to do, I think he had
somebody
every
else.
I think he was going to say it, because he said, "I have a lot of friends here tonight." I'm not his friend.
Right.
So I think he called an audible and just said, "You know what? This guy is at all these concerts, and look at him tonight. He's going nuts.
Yeah.
Let me just give him a solid."
That was
no pun intended. And wow. So think about this. The stars that had to align. If the brokerage doesn't give my friend a hard time, he doesn't buy those tickets. I don't buy the ticket. I'm not there, and Elton doesn't dedicate that song to me.
And yet they all aligned. And I remember when you posted that, it was the most amazing thing. I can't imagine how you felt.
I still can't. And I'm not joking. I have it on a CD, and I play it in my car all the time.
Let me ask you this now, because I've liked Elton John forever.
Right.
I finally went to the first concert.
Oh, you went to the one at the United Center, right.
Is this, I got the feeling that he's serious about this being the end.
Oh, definitely.
Because a lot of acts, we're on our farewell tour.
No.
This is going to be the farewell tour.
Now, a tour. He will perform.
I know he's back at Rosemont in February.
Yeah, even when this tour is over in 2021, he will continue to perform maybe residencies in Vegas or in New York. We'll play a couple of weeks at a time.
Okay.
But in terms of the big
World tours
where he's on the road, you know, 3 months at a time, that thing, because he wants to spend time with his kids. So that giant tour kind of performance is gone.
Okay.
You would still be able to see him, but you would have to travel.
Right.
He's not going
to
travel to your
anymore.
Town.
All right.
You're
going
to have to go see him.
Well, it was wonderful, and I can see why, I can see why you've enjoyed the shows for so long, because I've enjoyed the music forever. I mean,
I
wore out Captain Fantastic on A-Track.
A-Track. Well, so, he even makes a joke that you bought the albums, the CDs, the A-Tracks, cassettes.
So it was an unbelievable concert. I can't imagine the feeling. So how did your friend know to be recorded?
He was recording the whole show on his phone. So I just had that audio, and then they sent me this video, which is amazing. And as I said, I know one of the guys in his band, a couple of guys in his band, and after it happened, I looked over there, and even his guitar player, who's been with him for 40 years, this guy Davey Johnstone, he looked at me and said, "Wow." So that doesn't happen very often.
Man.
And like I said, it was so cool. He said my name correctly. He didn't even mispronounce it. Everybody mispronounces it. And I really felt when you hear that, you know, that it was very heartfelt. And I think that he was going to say, "I have a lot of friends here tonight." And then I think he just said, "You know what? Let me just give this guy a break." And so,
it
was very cool. But then as I thought back, I'm like, think about these different, things that had to happen to come together for that to happen. It was crazy, but very cool.
Congratulations on that.
And,
I hate to rush. I got a guest in about 5 minutes.
No, no problem. Well, thank you for joining me here on WGN Nightside. Happy Thanksgiving, and the Christmas season is officially in gear. And thank you for inviting us into your car, your home, your life. We are grateful to be Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago.